In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Have you ever noticed that when it comes to fraud, the one area where the media would have you believe it just doesn't happen is elections? Bank fraud, wire fraud, misappropriations of funds, abuse of power, sexual harassment, tax evasion, theft. Sure, all of that happens, but not election theft. Oh no, that doesn't happen. Why? Why is it that of all of the areas of society prone to abuse and human failings, why is it that only election theft is sanctified as pure and holy? At least if you believe the media. When it comes to voter fraud and election theft, I think this from John Solomon really nails it. Quote, at this point, there is no downside to cheating in Wisconsin or any other state. When you have a governor that is shutting down a lot of the things that we as Republicans and Democrats have thought would make a fair and transparent election. No downside to cheating. And all of the upside, winning if you do cheat. Because when you win, you can claim that there was no cheating. And when you win by cheating, you don't want others to look. And when you win by cheating, you can keep right on cheating because, guess what? You're the elected official and you get to set the rules. My first personal experience with the potential for voter fraud was 10 years ago. I was working with a county party here in Oregon to get out the vote, and I was given a list of 100 people to call. They'd gotten the data from the county elections office and merged that with data from the national Republicans. It wasn't long working down that list before I realized that the list of likely voters was horribly, horribly flawed. Because the people allegedly registered and here to vote just weren't here. At least 3 had died and about 30% had moved. And in both cases, some hadn't been living in Oregon for more than 15 years. And this was the data we used to run our elections? The worst part of this story is it hasn't gotten any better, especially here in Oregon, which makes it a point to not disenfranchise people just because they're dead or moved or may not be real. If you heard last week's show, you know that voter fraud and election theft is real. But before you say, my vote doesn't count and there's just no point in voting until they fix this, that is exactly what they want you to do. Sit it out. Because that's how they cheat. People not voting. Stay with us. We'll help you make sense of that and so much more. Lots to expose today on the iSpy Radio Show as we continue to look into voter fraud and election theft. I'd like to welcome back Don Powers. Last week, we just barely scratched the surface of election theft, and we could tell right away that things were going to take a little bit more time than we'd budgeted. We had originally planned to have Don back on for a second half on this week's show, but we decided to have him on for the whole hour instead. Don, it is good to talk to you again.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I appreciate you having me back. Yeah, last week we got down a rabbit hole, didn't we?
Yeah, it's easy to do, I think, with this topic. But I should mention that Don is the co-chair of election integrity for the Oregon Republican Party. He's also part of a team of investigators looking at voter fraud all across the country. And Don, that's where I thought we'd pick up this week. Let's look at what's been uncovered in other states, specific examples of election or voter fraud, and then we'll apply that to Oregon. But before we get there, there are a couple of questions left over from last week that we had really wanted to talk to you about. I just didn't get time for it. And it's also some questions that listeners had mentioned to us as well. So here's the big one. If there is voter fraud, and if it's been happening for a while now, how did Donald Trump get elected in 2016?
Yeah, well, the simpler answer is it was overwhelming. So they have, they have strategies that they look at voting trends. They've been doing that for a while. I think we talked about that before. And they know how you're going to vote, you know, not just from voting trends, but from all your social media and all your social activities, your purchasing, what you view, what you buy, what you look at, you know, and all these things. So they know your profile. They know what you're going to do. So they set these algorithms and these systems in place to deal with that. But what happened in 2016 was we, the people, overwhelmed their system. And so they had to stop, if you noticed, in the middle of the night, the infamous, shutdown and reboot right. In the middle of the night, and all of a sudden they woke up in the morning. So, I mean, that in itself should be suspicious enough for people around the country to go, what in the is going on here, right? This, and it's interesting how divided, for the most part, at least, especially then. Now a lot more people are opening up and waking up to this. But back then, it was a red and blue issue, right? Mm-hmm. If you were red, you thought, this is ridiculous. And if you were, you know, a Democrat, you were like, you know what? Nothing happened. It didn't see anything. He lost, and that's that. But we really find that now a lot more people, with a lot of things that are going on around the country, are realizing that something really did happen in the middle of the night, something nefarious, something planned. Something quite evil, you know, and I believe it was a coup that occurred here on our soil, and that we have, you know, to look at that very, very seriously, because we lose our integrity as a country in the world. Yes. To start trying to tell anybody else how to run their country or their elections. If we can't get our own elections right, and we can't get the people, you know, I think the biggest crime of it is, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And what we're finding is, you know, it's not, right? It's by the elite, for the elite. And they have their team, they have their group, they have their people that they want to put in place to continue to be business as usual. And they really don't listen to us. And I'm more and more finding that frustration here in Oregon as well, regardless of the you know, some of the fraud and challenges that we're finding here in Oregon, just the general mentality on both sides of the aisle of the status quo. And it's really shocking to me, actually.
Well, and it should be shocking to anybody that this kind of thing happens. And, you know, getting back to Pennsylvania there, and in 2016, my own suspicion for a long time has been is that they stopped because they were weighing whether or not they could cheat, because you essentially had all of the other states already called and the whole world was watching. And I think they decided not to because they had the insurance plan going into it anyway. So you don't want to expose the game. And unfortunately, it did become, unfortunately for them anyway, it became very exposed in 2020. The other question is, of course, is that if they're doing all this rampant cheating, how is it that any Republican essentially gets into office? Are they being let into office, essentially?
Well, that is certainly one theory. Like I keep saying, I believe for the most part it's a uniparty. There's people who do this for a living. This is the way they, make their living, right? They are professional politicians. They perhaps don't even have, you know, a career outside of doing this. So this is their job. They don't want to lose their job, and they benefit from a system that keeps them, you know, in place. And I think, you know, here in Oregon, for example, I don't think the Republicans really want, as a party, really want to win these seats. Mm. If I look at the fact that they put certain people up and position certain people clearly, blatantly, regardless of what the bylaws say, they're clearly favoring people, putting people in place. And it's not just at the state level, but I know that it's coming from the RNC. And at a higher level, that they pick these people, they position them, they favor them, they give them status, whether it be on a debate or media or emails or in county commission, you know, or central committee meetings and so on. They give them favor and put them forward, regardless of the fact that the people are not interested in that particular candidate. Yeah. They just don't seem to listen.
No, they don't. And I think I agree with you. They don't seem to be interested in winning. They seem to be more interested in bickering over Robert's Rules of Orders than actually winning these elections. Okay, time for a break. Lots more with Don Powers talking about voter fraud and election theft coming up, examples of fraud in other states, and how it's done right here in Oregon. Yes, there really is voter fraud. Yes, there really is election theft, as we are seeing more and more examples of this being uncovered all across the nation. But don't think it's not happening right here in Oregon. We're continuing our discussion this week with our guest from last week, Don Powers. He's a part of a team of investigators looking at voter fraud all across the country. So, Don, last week we had mentioned that this week we're going to look at some specific examples of election or voter fraud and apply that to what's going on here in Oregon. Let's look at some of these states. Maybe start with Wisconsin, because that's really been in the news lately. What's been going on there? What's been uncovered?
Yeah, wow. It's really interesting in Wisconsin, because, you know, it starts out with, oh, there was no voter fraud. You know, don't look. Something to look at here. No, there's no there. But then went to, oh, yeah, maybe there's a few instances, isolated incidences of something that was done wrong or of some problem. But they're really just errors, not really fraud. And then as the investigation continues, it's like, okay, you know, there was a little bit of fraud, but nothing significant to really, you know, change anything or change the election, which, by the way, to me, that's not the point of all this. But and now it's come yesterday flat out that, yes, there was fraud. It was wide-scale fraud. Yeah. So now the line at the moment, anyway, is there's wide-scale fraud to the hundreds of thousands of votes, but there's nothing we can do about it. which is not accurate.
If a bank robber robs the bank, they know he robbed the bank, they know who it is that robbed the bank, but you can't do anything about it, even though that you know that the bank was robbed. Is that essentially their logic here?
Yeah. I mean, there's no sense in that was, you know, that happened yesterday, and let's just put some more money in the bank and move on.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, it's really disgusting that they're willing to walk away from a crime. I mean, a crime was committed.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I mean, that's the bottom line, is a crime was committed, and we need to get to the bottom of the crime. It's basically like there's a body there. It's got a bullet hole in it. It clearly is a body. It's clearly been shot. Now we know that there's a body. We know that there's been a crime. There's been murder. Now we just got to find out, you know, who did it, you know, specifically. But the thing I like to try to do when we talk about Oregon, before we get, you know, too close to that, is to try to open people's mind up to how much fraud we are finding around the country. Mm-hmm. And how difficult it's been to get to that. You know, we talk about Colorado, and right now the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, is being sued by two county clerks there because they want permission to use their saved voting machine data to see if the secretary had illegally meddled with their machines. And that's coming because a former county clerk in Mesa County, Colorado, did a forensic image of her machines and found
that was Tina Peters, right?
Significantly, Tina Peters. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Thank you, Tina Peters, and that she had as a result of what she did, she found that they had tampered with her machine. In fact, that a whole massive chunk of ballots batches were just gone and missing out of the system. And now, you know, the Secretary of State has used the pressure of her office to jail Tina Peters and set a bond at $500,000 for, you know, what she did. So these other two county clerks are trying to basically sue Jenna Griswold. And then in Texas...
Well, it's pretty amazing. Let me interrupt you there. It's pretty amazing that here somebody is trying to expose fraud, which everybody should be concerned about. Tina Peters is trying to expose that fraud, and she's the one that gets arrested. And as you say, she's out now on a $500,000 bond. I mean, murderers sometimes get out for less than that in terms of bail.
Yeah.
But going back to what you said about the missing batches, how common is that, what you see as an issue in a lot of these other states?
We're seeing a lot of it, actually, in right here in Oregon. Even we're seeing that particular issue where we've asked for ballot images from Coos County, and Coos County came back and told us that the machine's hard drive had gone down and that they didn't have the ballot images. So we went to them and said, "Okay, well, I mean, I'm sure you've got it all backed up. So send us, you know, when you get it backed up or you get it restored from your backup, just let us know when we can expect to get that." And they came back and said that they don't have a backup. And a few weeks later, the county clerk actually resigned, which allowed the county commissioners to appoint a new one. And it's like, gee, that sounds exactly like what we've seen in multiple other places around the country. The county clerk gets under heat, county clerk steps off, and then they get to assign somebody in that position as opposed to a vote, you know, someone the voters selected. So,
well, in terms of replacing the county clerk, does that mean, I don't know who that person is, and maybe you do, but does that mean that they will suddenly find the hard drive that disappeared?
Well, I mean, they have the hard drive. They just say that the data was, that the hard drive failed. The data was
destroyed. They don't have any backup?
They weren't able to restore. And no backup. I mean, at the very least, that's negligent. I mean, I'm sure that the county as a whole, their IT department, has a backup philosophy, right? Standard operating procedure for backing up data. And I'm sure that it extends to the county clerk's office and certainly to the voting systems, because they, their manual talks about how to back up the data and that you, you know, and to do a proper, and it gives you all the steps and procedures to do that. And anybody who has critical data knows that you've got to have redundancy on that data. You have to, you know, back it up. And it doesn't take much space. It doesn't, hard drive space is inexpensive.
Well,
$100 plus, to back up the entire election.
Exactly. Plus, these records are required by law to be maintained for at least 2 years past the election. So what's their excuse? I mean, if we had done that, you know, if we're told, you know, as a business owner, you're told to keep your records for 2 years, and gosh, you just magically destroyed them, or it got corrupted, I think there would be some kind of punishment for that. Why is there no punishment for government officials?
If you just took bleach bit or something or some hammers and just destroy them, I guess that's okay, right?
Really?
There's another county in Oregon we're running into the same thing, the exact same story. It said, oh, they have paper ballots. They will rescan them for us for $1,800.
Yeah, Malheur County, you sent us a letter on that. And even in red counties, this is happening. However, that is a big discussion, so let's take a break now and we'll come right back to that. And welcome back. We're continuing our discussion about voter fraud from last week, giving Don Powers the whole hour this week. If you missed last week's show, the podcast version of that is available on iSpyRadio.com or your favorite podcasting platform. And Don, you were talking about what you'd uncovered there in Coos County, something your team has seen repeatedly in other parts of the country, data and data files that is just mysteriously missing. But the missing ballot images is not something just unique to Coos County, but other counties as well. Malheur County apparently is one of the other ones.
Right. Exactly. Malheur.
So Malheur County is not exactly a liberal county. Lots of Republicans there, tends to vote red pretty much every time that I'm aware of. So how is it that even in these red counties, these ballot images are just disappearing?
I think what we're seeing is that there's a lot of different techniques they're using around the country to do this. It's not any one thing. It's lots of different things, so it doesn't, you know, appear. So I think that's why it's in part so difficult for us to get to the bottom of it. That and the fact that there's only, you know, so many expert teams that are working on these things, and it takes months and months to get to it, right? So, you know, priorities. Just like any company, you prioritize the states where you have the most information, your biggest chances of finding something, plus then be swing states, which is critical, right? And where we saw the biggest, you know, anomalies, if you will, or irregularities or indicators, outliers, and you attack those first. And Oregon, we've been doing the mail-in balloting here, mail-in voting for so long that it is perfected, but they've also perfected the cheat. And that's, my opinion is that that's what we've seen. And we see around the country where other states, I think we talked about this last time, but so I'll just touch on it, but in other states where we see that they've done mail-in voting as a result of, say, COVID, they use that excuse to start doing mail-in voting. The more mail-in voting the state had, the closer it got to what our team calls the Oregon perfection.
Mm.
And that's just, that doesn't happen. That's not natural data, right? Any mathematician, any statistician, anybody doing an audit of any sort for a company would look at those things and go, wait, that's not natural data. Mm-hmm. There's something here. There's something deliberate. There's a deliberate manipulation of the information. It just doesn't come out that way.
And we have often said that Oregon is the petri dish for leftist policies. But it's also, as you say, they work the kinks out here. That's what's going on in the Klamath Falls area where they are pulling out those dams, down in the Klamath Basin area. they're using that as a test model to pull out all dams. And we see this time and time again in Oregon. That's why people in other states really need to pay attention to what happens in Oregon, because they work out the bugs here and then they move that policy into your state. Getting back to these missing ballot images and it's other data corruption that we have seen. You had there in Arizona where they purposefully deleted things. So how much of this missing data is incompetence, or is it actual malfeasance?
Yeah, well, in the case of you know, a hard drive going down and there being no backup of it, taking it on face value that that's truthful or the whole truth, it's at the very least, it's negligent, right? It's a dereliction of responsibilities. Most IT people would get fired for something like that in a corporation. What do you mean?
And sued. Backup?
Yeah. Yeah, and soon. So it's hard to, you know, it's one of the challenges, right, with some of these things is to say, you know, who did it? And is it, you know, if it happens in one place, it can just be it happens, you know, whoops, negligent, foolish mistake. But when you see it as a pattern happening around the country, when you see this and similar things like this go on, you have to know that this is lockstep. Right in front of your eyes. You know, there is a concerted effort all around the country to control our elections and to manipulate them. And the people should be concerned, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of, again, the side of the aisle you're on, you should care that sure. your vote counted. It counted once, and there's just no illegal ballots going into the system. And really, that's one of the biggest areas where they're able to enact this. And almost all of it comes from voter rolls, voter history, and illegal ballots being stuffed into the system, you know, and they know how you're going to vote. They know what that looks like, so they can predetermine how many votes they're going to need in a particular county. And then sometimes some of the data we have recently here in Oregon from one of the Oregon counties, we see a big influx in the first couple of days in the early voting period. So it's almost if they go, we know we're going to need this many, let's get them in the system. And then they set it on once they get it where they need it to start from. Right. You see that the pattern is just perfectly controlled all the way through. And that's not natural data, that every time some ballots come in, they're coming in at the same pace. Or we're able to break down ballot images by and cast vote record by batches. So when this batch came in, let's say there's 100 in that batch, it's 100 for Biden, 4 for Trump. 100 for Biden, 2 for Trump. It's, you know, or I should say 98 for Biden, 2 for Trump, right? That batch of 100. And then other batches of 240 or whatever. And the amount is there's some that come in where it's 100% is a batch, it's 200, and it's 100% of them are Biden. I mean, I don't care what you can imagine, you know, what county we're talking about, but it's just not natural that those all come in and not one is mixed in there, or only 4 are mixed in that chunk of ballots that come in. And then
it's always that unnatural pattern that should always be raising warning flags, because that's always the first indicator that something is wrong here. Donna, I want to take a break a little bit early because the next bit is going to take a little more time to get into. Everyone, stay with us. More with Don Powers and what his team has uncovered in other states and Oregon about election fraud. You know, whether it's COVID or vaccines or Ukraine or election theft, if the whole of the left-wing media goes all in to drive a narrative, you can bet that something is wrong with it. In 2020, they jumped all in to tell you there's no voter fraud, there's no evidence. Funny how they said that before looking, isn't it? Head to iSpyRadio.com and go to today's show page, and you'll see a John Solomon story with 20 proven examples of election theft. And they only just scratched the surface. We're talking today to Don Powers. He and his team are also investigating election theft. And Don, in that last segment there, we were talking about how these illegal votes happen. I really want to drill down a little bit on that, because as I've watched elections for years now, one of the things that always puzzled me is why are states so resistant to cleaning up voter rolls? And it turns out that's the mechanism that they use to cheat, is they have these people that haven't voted in years, because normally you hear things like there's been a really high turnout of 76 or 80%, but there's still that 20% of registered voters that never voted. And it's that 20% or more that they will then pull these votes from and say, well, gosh, you know, Joe Smith at 123 Main Street, who hasn't voted in 4 years, suddenly he decided to vote this year because they've taken his vote, his name, and his registration and applied that to a ballot. So talk to us about that process, about how they cheat by using those people that are still in the voter rolls that should have been cleaned off years ago.
Well, I'll tell you that, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head with what you said, pretty much on target there with that. That's what they're able to do. And that's what... That's what Judicial Watch is suing, you know, the Secretary of State of Oregon, Multnomah County and Linn County about, is there's, you know, the HAVA law that they have to clean the voter rolls. And you've got Multnomah County, who in 4 years has only cleared four people off the voter rolls. So they've got a massively inflated voter rolls in that county. And
so let's pause there for a second. Let's pause there for a second. Real quick, HAVA laws, that's Help America Vote Act laws, which by law, they are supposed to be cleaning up these voter rolls. So the question becomes is why don't they clean up those voter rolls when it's clear that more than four people in Multnomah County have died?
Yeah, not only have, you know, died, they've moved, you know, right? Maybe they've moved a long time ago, right? So that whole Help America Vote Act was designed to, I mean, really it was designed... The theory, what they sold it to the public was, right, is that it's helping us get out the vote. But really what it's been able to do is it's been used as a mechanism to facilitate more fraud. But it does call for the cleaning up of the voter rolls. And that is a critical component. And here in Oregon, they're passing laws right now, well, they just did in a short session additionally, to not have to clean up these voter rolls ever.
And how can they do that when it's federal law? How can they do that when it's federal law that they have to clean those?
Well, there's two different sets of laws, right? There's the laws for the federal elections, and the states get to determine their own laws and rules for their state elections, right? So the state's allowed to do to not clean up the voter rolls for their state elections, but the same voter roll exists for the federal.
Does that mean because they've got two separate election laws, they're going to have two ballots? That some go to what they know are valid people and others are going to have to ask for it? How is that going to even work?
Yeah, it doesn't. That's kind of the point. So they don't. They're supposed to do it and they just haven't. That's really what it comes down to. They didn't clean up the voter rolls. And that is the crux of the lawsuit, right? You didn't do it. You're supposed to do it. And then they pass these laws saying they're never going to clean them up. And I'm not quite sure how they can get away with that, like you said, with the federal law being there. So I'd have to think that through a little bit. I don't have a perfect response for that. I apologize.
Well, no, that's fine, because I think we're entering into virgin territory here. Oh, my gosh, that somebody would actually have to go in and clean up the voter rolls. Ridiculous to think that.
Right now the state, the Secretary of State's office, I actually have a letter from a few years back when Kate Brown was Secretary of State, where she said that, the voter rolls are, cleaning up the voter rolls is the sole responsibility of the county clerks, and that that the position of the state is that the penalty for somebody illegally voting in, say, a federal election, for example, some people may be eligible to vote in the federal election, but not be allowed to vote in the state elections, right? They can do federal only, for example. But the penalty is, the state's opinion is, the penalty is so severe that it in itself is the sole deterrent. So no safeguards put in place other than somebody being afraid or concerned that they would get caught. So the penalty is that severe that they won't do it. And that's it. And then any cleaning of the voter rolls belongs to the responsibility of the county clerk.
Can people in terms of people getting involved, can they be calling up their county clerks and be insisting that their county clerks actually clean up the voting rolls? I mean, do they have any kind of leverage that the average voter can apply some kind of pressure to their county clerks to make these rolls as clean as possible?
They can certainly, that's a great point, because what people in general need to do is get involved in all of this, get involved in the government, get involved in these things. And when it comes specifically to the voter rolls, yeah, send your county clerk a message saying that you want them cleaned up, and look around you, like your own space and people that you know that have moved and people that you know that haven't voted or any of these things, and check and see if they're still on the voter roll. And if they are, you can send a letter, an email to the county clerk saying, hey, we know that these people are no longer here, haven't lived here for 6 months or 8 months or whatever. They need to be taken off the voter roll. And I know of a few instances where people have done that, and the county clerk did, in fact, clean them up, because there's nothing, you know, more powerful, really, than a written letter saying, hey, these five people shouldn't be on here. You need to take them off. At that point, that person's going to take them off because they've been specifically notified, right? So whether they want to or not, they're going to end up doing it. So that's part of getting involved and basically serving notice that we know they're not cleaning them up, right? And that goes for everything. Yep. If we pay attention and watch what our government is doing and what our officials are doing, then we won't be taken by surprise.
That's
we won't
right.
be able to continue to do all of this.
I think that's very powerful, you know, letting them know that you are, in fact, watching. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break there. Come back. We'll have more Don Powers talking about election theft and what's happening in other states and what's happening right here in Oregon. Back, we'll talk today to Don Powers. He is part of a team of investigators looking at voter fraud all across the country, but especially what is happening right here in Oregon. Don is also the co-chair of election integrity for the ORP, although amazingly enough, as a party, the ORP, or at least the leadership anyway, does not believe that election theft or voter fraud happened here in Oregon, and nobody should look. Don, getting back to some of the other issues that we've seen in other states, one of the big things that we've seen is ballot harvesting. Can you talk to us about what you've seen in these other states? We know and for sure that it happened in Georgia. They were caught on camera doing this kind of mule drop-offs, and I think it's also happened in Wisconsin. Talk to us about what's been uncovered there.
Yeah, an important distinction, too, is the difference between ballot harvesting and this this mule trafficking, as mm-hmm. they're calling it. So in Oregon, ballot harvesting is legal. You can go to your neighbors and ask for the ballots and turn them all in. And as strange as it might appear to the average person, somebody pulling up to a drop box with, you know, seven giant bags of ballots and putting them in the box, as much as that would cause you to wonder, it's still legal. As long as those were legally acquired and they're actually legal ballots. And that's where we get into what we've seen in Georgia and a few other states is these mules, where what they do is they literally have a lot of extra ballots that are printed. They have people sitting in a room that are being paid, and they have whistleblowers that are actually in the process of coming out on this issue. But they sit and they literally fill out ballots, and the mules have a route. And they take those ballots and they go around and they dump them into these ballot boxes, these drop boxes, right? So that is one way in which they're getting the ballots into the system. So when a county clerk does a recount or a risk-limiting audit, they say, look, this is how many ballots came in, and this is how many we've counted, and this is how many the machine says there is, so everything is good, right? Well, yes. It gets back to how many of those are valid ballots and were legally cast. So when we come with that idea, we look at Oregon, there's some things that we're seeing here that make us curious, right? I call them outliers, indicators. There's something similar that goes on here. And when you allow ballot harvesting legally, you basically create a vehicle
sure.
which would enable that type of fraud
yep,
to
yep.
not really be seen, because it's legal to go dump mm-hmm. a bunch of them in a box. So nobody's going to blink their eye going,
yep. you're
yeah,
making
that
it,
person put 50 of them in there.
You're making it that much easier to cheat.
Right?
Yep.
Much easier to cheat. It doesn't mean that it happened. I get that. But then we use that as that, and we look at data that we're finding in other places, and we see things we're seeing here in Oregon, and we go, boy, really similar patterns, right? Really similar patterns. So we need to dig into it deeper. We do have some things that we have really big concerns, but the approach that we typically try to take is not assuming that it's all nefarious, even though sometimes we already know because we've seen this before, but to give the county clerk an opportunity to explain it. We have some ballot images, for example, from from Multnomah County. There's some stuff on the ballot images that we don't quite understand why some have these markings and some have a different marking. And sometimes that can be perfectly explained away. So instead of us blurting out, well, they had this and, you know, some other ones didn't have that, and you find people getting really excited about it and not really understanding. And the county clerk comes out and says, oh, that's because, you know, this, and this. Like, oh, okay. Now you have egg on your face because you're, right. And next time you come with something that's actually valid, you lose credibility, right? So the approach is, okay, here's a handful of things that we're seeing. We've just come across this stuff now because we've only recently really gotten significant amount of data out of Oregon. We've got some really good stuff out of Polk County, actually, and we've done some excellent analysis on that already. And there's some things that we're going to be addressing there, but it's the same thing. Come to them and say, hey, and it's been my personal kind of commitment to them. If you give us this data, I promise that we'll come to you before we go public with anything, just to see what the explanations are, because it might make perfect sense. And it may be a surprise to them as well, going, holy wow, there's something is going on here. And maybe they can help us sort through that. So instead of necessarily thinking that county clerk is evil or wrong or deliberately did something, I tend to believe that it's happening in these machines and it's happening in a system that's outside of their purview that they don't have any control or visibility of. And they have such nice, clean processes that they just don't understand how that couldn't happen here. It couldn't happen because our processes are clean. And if you go visit a county clerk, I encourage everybody to do it as long as it's not close to an election time. They're all of them very happy to say, oh, let me show you how we do it. The ballots come in here, and then we do this with them, and we turn them upside down so we don't see their names. We open the envelopes, you know, and they show you, and then they go into this bin. And then it's really, they have a very, very great system in which to control the ballots and have a chain of custody on them. So it's not happening there, I don't believe. Are there potentially a few bad apples in the mix? Sure. And we're seeing that around the country, you know, here and there.
Sure.
Right.
But so have you ever asked,
then it is a rule.
Have you ever asked one of these county clerks, if you wanted to cheat, how would you do it? And have them identify where the potential holes in the system are?
Yeah. No, I haven't, because they're not very responsive to that.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. They really don't, because, you know, they just don't, they just are so adamant that there's absolutely nothing wrong. And even when we talk about the potential of illegal ballots coming in, and their argument is always, well, an argument often is, well, we have signature verification. So there it is. I mean, we verify the signature, so it couldn't be happening. How could it when we verify the signature? Well, two different things. You know that Equifax, for example, has been, you know, the credit reporting systems, both of them have been hacked. Mm-hmm. All of your data and all of your information is out on the dark web. So any of these organizations that want to start hacking into your credit or your bank accounts or your life and or all of your social security number and these types of things, they have all that available, right? They have your signatures. They have all of this stuff. So it's not hard for them at all to be able to do this, because they already have all the data they need on you, plus all the other stuff that they collected through your social media activities, your voting history, or lack thereof, in my case, and so forth.
And I think it's rather foolhardy to think that the system couldn't be gamed if that's their excuse. Okay, we do need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Don Powers. Coming up, we'll be talking about decertification, or what other remedies are there? Back in our final segment now with Don Powers. He's the co-chair of election integrity for the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. And he's also part of a team of investigators looking at election fraud and election theft all around the country. So, Don, I'd like to move into a little bit of wrap things up here with you in terms of decertification and remedies that are out there. So let's remind people of something that we touched on briefly last week. Regardless of where it leads, whether it's decertification or some other remedy in these states, do you believe that you have seen enough evidence right now of election fraud that proves that Biden did not win the election in those swing states, which claimed that he did win those states?
Well, here's where the challenge is on that statement. If you notice that the Department of Homeland Security came out recently, and so the Oregon legislature is also working to pass the laws as we speak. Obviously, they're not in session right now, but they worked on it in this short session, that you are considered a domestic terrorist if you speak about stolen elections or fraudulent elections or these types of things. They're literally trying to make you a criminal as a result of this.
Well, and that's what Soviet Russia would do. That's what any communist China would do. Don't you dare question the elections.
I mean, how dare you? And here in Oregon, I think the wording, I don't have it in front of me, but the wording was essentially that if you make false claims about election fraud, so it's, I mean, who... You better be sure you can prove it. Does it mean that you have to be able to, you know, show the smoking gun and the bullet? Believe me, we will. Doing it in many places around the country. So it's pretty foolish and arrogant to think that it wouldn't happen here or that it isn't happening here or didn't happen here because it did. So we're just now getting to where we've got enough data and information to start looking at it. And I am very appreciative of the county clerks and all of the good patriots of our country who are helping us get that data, who care enough to say, hey, look at it. I mean, I appreciate a county clerk who's willing to go, hey, look, I don't think there's anything wrong. You guys are out of your mind. Our systems are great. Our processes are great. But, you know, you can have this stuff to find something because, hey, if there's a there, find it. I want it fixed too. You know?
Well, let's be
gracious enough to give us that data.
Let's ask you this then. So, what if voter fraud and election theft can be proven in these other states, what's the remedy if there's enough evidence of fraud?
Yeah, well, the 12th Amendment speaks to it pretty good. If the states decertify, that means that that the electors are taken away from that candidate. So, for example, if Wisconsin and Colorado, Utah, Georgia, you only need three of them, decertify, Biden no longer has the 270 required to become president. At that point, it becomes a contested election. And you go to the 12th Amendment, which states that in the event of a contested election, you go to one state, one vote. Right? That's one remedy. Some people talk also about the possibility of a change in, because if they decertify, then there's others down ballot that aren't duly elected either, and that you could replace them and have them appoint. But I don't really know that one. I haven't really studied that particular train of thought.
It just seems like if you could prove that this massive voter fraud did in fact happen, I mean, that would throw the whole system into chaos. I don't know if you then hold a whole new election. I really don't know how that would work because this has never happened before. I'm certain that there's been election fraud in the past. I'm certain, like the Nixon and Kennedy election, I'm certain that fraud happened there, but nothing was ever done as a result of that.
Just think about it. All over the world, right? We know for a fact that our government was involved in the elections in Venezuela and Chile and places, right? So it's a little bit silly for us or others to be screaming, whether it's citizens and or our government, about somebody meddling, some foreign country meddling in our election. It's just some.
Exactly.
People in glass houses, right? Shouldn't throw stones.
Right.
But
yeah, we know that our own CIA has interfered in elections and gotten the people in that they wanted to. So, of course, it could potentially happen here. Where I started to go with that, though, was that if you can prove that it happened, can something be done even now, or are we stuck with this until the next election?
Well, again, something that could be done now, which it's really starting to look, I hate to say inevitable, but it's the best word choice I have right now, that a couple of these states are going to decertify. It's rampant fraud, and the people should demand it. Every citizen in the United States should go, holy moly, this is so bad. I can't, if you look at what's going on in Wisconsin alone, and then, you know, Georgia, where they've, you know, even more is coming out of Georgia here real soon. But I mean, you've got to say to yourself, there's a serious problem here. We have to decertify that election. Let's back up. Let's go to the 12th Amendment. Let's go to one state, one vote. And then whoever, you know, shakes down out of that is the way that it is. And now we clean up, we find out what's necessary to clean this process up going forward. And really about the best way we can do it is get rid of these machines. To not allow this to happen, go back to, you know, in person. That maybe we have a holiday, a national holiday for voting day. I mean, look, people can take a day off work. If you got a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, you take a day off work to go to the doctor, to the dentist, or whatnot. True. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a great idea.
Most sacred day of all.
Yep. Turn it into like a second 4th of July for sure, where you actually go out and everybody's participating. I think that's a great idea.
And the family comes out, you go down together, you turn it in, it becomes a tradition, it becomes a patriotic, you know, event.
Sure.
It becomes something that is
absolutely what you see in other countries for sure. Don, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time, and good luck to you as you go forward examining all of this.
Thank you. We'll have more coming in, soon. And once I get a chance to talk to some folks in the counties and stuff, and see if we have some answers to some of the things we found, and then we'll move forward from there. But
great.
I really appreciate you guys giving me a voice to talk to folks.
You bet. Before we go, Don does have a webpage you can go to find out more. It has information about what his group is and when they have events, and also action items. They're still building it out, so you can expect more as they do. The website is TakeBackAmericaCC, like Clackamas County, TakeBackAmericaCC.com. You know, as I said in my opener, don't think your ballot doesn't count. That's the one thing I hear so often from people. There's just no reason to vote until we fix this. No, you cannot fix this by sitting it out, and that is exactly what they want you to do, because sitting it out effectively gives them an empty ballot to use, because you're not voting means someone else can cheat using your ballot. So don't just vote, get others to vote, especially others who haven't voted in years. Expose the fraud, catch them in the act, get them out of office, and then it's time to start sending people to jail. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.